October's Secret Lair Super Drop is upon us, and with it comes the usual wide variety of art styles and also more universes beyond. And, as we continue to get more used to Secret Lairs, is there something more to be examined in their presentation, not just as individual cards, but as a whole collection, and indeed, a whole bundle? Welcome to Magic the Flavouring, the Magic the Gathering podcast, where we talk about all things magic, flavour design and lore. I'm your host, Andy Mann.
Hello, this is Nathan Cancel.
And today we are going to be talking about the Secret Lair October Super Drop. And also the fact that we've been away for a couple of weeks. Doing various life things. You had a birthday.
I did, had a big one. I turned 30. Exciting times.
Turned 30? Oh no! I know, I recently turned 31 in... I don't know if we mentioned this on the podcast. I think it went by very quietly. I turned 31 in September. So yeah, I'm feeling you.
Yeah, body hurts, tea's necessary, everything's pain, but, you know, I feel one year wiser, so.
Yeah, well, I can say unequivocally that your 30s, or at least how I've experienced the 30s, is a lot more pandemic-y than your 20s, so, yeah, I don't know if that's the same for everyone.
I'm hoping mine aren't, the end of my 20s is very pandemic-y. If my 30s are more, then some shit's gone down again, so.
Oh no, let's not poke the beast that is fate. All right, yesterday we are talking about the October Super Drop. We tried to keep up with lots of these Secret Lairs. We haven't done all of them. Honestly, some of them haven't been that interesting of late, I found. But this one, to me at least, I am quite happy with this Super Drop. I have never personally bought a Secret Lair. I bought a couple of singles. You've bought some Secret Lairs now. You kind of busted that one.
Yeah, there's a few that I had to kind of pull the trigger on. Like, I got the Are You Coming to My Party Next Friday? I've bought the Kamigawa sketch ones, as well as...
Very, very, very good.
Yeah, very, very, very good. And then there's another one that I got from the latest drop as well. Basically, if the art style is significantly different, like we'll be talking about in a couple of these drops in this series, then that's usually what I go for. I don't really care about like reskins that are like the same kind of border and everything. I like to kind of push the boat out. I'm trying to pimp out my Tasker deck just to be super, super extra.
So things like yeah, every card has a different art style, right?
Yeah, literally. Like, so the Grime Slime Prime Time, whenever the Void Slime from that went in. I've got like box topper art treatments for a few of the cards as well. It's my bling deck. And this is dangerous because they make me try to... I've got a Beast Within, for example, in the deck. I'm like, well, guess I've got to get this lair drop, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've never bought one simply... I mean, there's a couple of reasons I've not bought Secret Lairs. And no judgment if you do buy them. In many ways, they're a great product. And indeed, some of the individual Secret Lairs are fantastic. But I've just never been moved to buy a whole one. But I will say that the Signets, the Dan Fraser Signets, was one that I was very, very close to hitting the buy now button on. And there's a few of these that actually, I've got the I have the website open as my reference for this episode, and my cursor keeps hovering over pre-order,
right?
So there's a couple of them, but we'll get to them. There are a lot of them. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different drops in this Super Drop, so we can't spend a lot of time on all of them. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about Extra Life as well, because Extra Life 2021 has also been released recently and is kind of, I guess, going hand in hand with this Super Drop as well. There is a shit ton of flavor in this bundle. I think it's nice to bring it back to our roots. There is a lot going on here in terms of card presentation and art styles and the way that we view the game, or even how we view like the idea of the game in a lot of these Secret Lairs. And I think for me, I'm just going to say out the gate, I kind of buried the lead a little bit a couple of seconds ago. I think this is potentially one of the strongest Super Drops, like collection of Secret Lairs, in terms of their like concept and the way that they are related to Magic. I think this might be one of the strongest, if not the strongest Super Drop that we've had yet. I don't know about your thoughts and feelings on that.
No, I agree. Between that and the diversity that you see across, like, I mean, I know that... I feel like sometimes we get overwhelmed, right? You're looking, you're like, oh, this is cool. And you go, oh, I've got like the Lightning Bolt versus Ornithological one, like the original Super Drop. And you're like, even if I don't like one of these things over the other things, the diversity between the two is crazy. And it's the same thing here. Like, I think they've kind of peaked, though they know where they can kind of fall back on the, oh, do we do a collection that's kind of story-based, or do we do a collection where we've really pushed the artwork, or oh, we particularly like this artist who's done this one card and this one style, let's get him to do a whole selection kind of thing. Again, it's explorative in all the right directions, even if, again, there's always the underlining, but it's a secret lair drop.
But it's a secret lair. Get your wallets out. Yeah. Let's talk very quickly. Let's just start off with Extra Life, because this is an incredible product. So Extra Life, if people don't know, then this is a charity product, essentially, where Wizards of the Coast are able to donate through sales of Extra Life, and indeed just through... just general like charitable donations. I think on their website they said they've been able to donate about just over $3.5 million since 2015 to the Extra Life charity, and they're donating 50% of each Extra Life 2021 purchase directly to the Extra Life charity. Extra Life is a charity that was formed in 2008 and is an annual fundraising event where people from all sorts of like gaming spheres support children's charities such as the Children's Miracle Network hospitals in the US. 100% of the Wizards donations go directly to supporting the Autism Center of Seattle Children's Hospital. So that's the kind of institution that Wizards chooses to support. And 2021 Extra Life charity Magic the Gathering cards feature three big reprints of big cards that are played in many, many formats. And there's two of each card, one of which is illustrated by an established Magic the Gathering artist, but their illustrations and design are based off of illustrations by artists who are children who go to the Autism Center of Seattle Children's Hospital. And this is an incredible concept. This is fantastic. So you have Craterhoof Behemoth, you have Moldrifter, and Metalwork Colossus. And you have the artists listed on the cards, as well as their ages, which is an absolutely amazing little touch. And then you have the magic artists on their, referenced on their cards, with their ages on it. And it's just a nice, really sweet, wholesome product.
Super
and,
cute.
Yeah, it's super incredibly cute. And also just like... This for me, so when I first saw this, I actually only saw this a couple of days ago. I think at the time of recording, it did only get released a couple of days ago. And when I first saw this product, I lost my mind. Because this concept of like having children draw what they think like a monster looks like, or like they draw like kind of some kind of crazy creature, and then they have like professional artists or an artist draw something like more professional looking based on that design, is kind of an internet staple. Like as long as the internet's been around, like... parents have been doing this with their kids if they're artists and all that kind of stuff. But so to see it on a magic card, it's not like this is a new concept per se, but I love the idea that this is what extra products in magic should be. This is what supplementary products and like charity products and Gucci products should be. It should be silly. This is a kid's card game. Like, why don't we not have more like embracing of that? I think this is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's a guy that I know that I've seen him that does like he gets his kids to draw things, then he reinterprets them as like a fully fledged artwork. And I think it's great that we see that kind of parallel here. I mean, who doesn't want to smack someone out of a game with a doodle?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's great, and I love the fact that you get both of them as well. It's quite nice. It's if you want to buy a crate hoof for him off, this is a good way to get two.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, fantastic.
Yeah,
really clever. Also, like 5.5 is the age.
Kira for Craterhoof Behemoth is 5.5. Lars Grant West is age 52. Almost the same numbers in that little printing, but just like in different arrangements mathematically.
That's true.
You have Aaliyah, who is 5.5, and Megali Villeneuve, age 41. And then you have Hian Tran, who is aged 6, and Chris Ran, who's aged 36. It's incredible to see like a literal, I mean just 6 and 36, it's just incredible to see like literally the difference that 30 years makes. Like, just, it's almost like you're watching the Metalwork Colossus grow up.
Exactly.
From card to card.
Imagine like the terrifying prospect of having this giant rabbit thing coming. I mean, I know they've like embraced the whimsical side with the flavor text of I've come to save the world, but I mean that's a terrifying bunny. Even if you're
all three flavor texts are amazing. Be you, be free, live happily for Moldrifter. It loves to eat all things crispy, crunchy, and cheddar flavored of Craterhoof Behemoth. And I've come to save the world from Metalwork Colossus. Excellent product as always. I think last year's one was the Extra Life one, was the one with did it have phase protection?
Yeah,
and it had Consecrated Sphinx and all that kind of stuff. So so this product is a good product, and I hope they keep doing it.
Indeed.
Cool.
Indeed.
All right, let's move on to the secret lairs. As I say, can't spend a whole bunch of time on this. We'll get to Stranger Things. We're going to do that last. I can hear through time and airwaves people going, talk about Stranger Things. We'll talk about Stranger Things. We'll get there. Firstly, though, let's start with Monster Movie Marathon. Monster Movie Marathon is a collection of four cards done in the style of Hammer Horror and like pulp horror movie posters. The artist for all of these cards is Martin Anson. And Martin Anson is known in the illustration world for doing many, many different styles of film posters and film illustration. I mean, if you go to their website, you just see just a whole, but like from Ghost in a Shell to Taxi Driver to Brazil to The Mummy, like everything and anything, like, and all the artwork is incredibly fantastic. The big notable things for these cards, I think, so you have Dismember, Blasphemous Act, Grafdigger's Cage, and Beast Within. They've really played with the formatting of just where any of the information on the card goes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they've even something like we say with Beast Within, the card doesn't work the right way because it, as you read it, the controller gets a 3/3 green beast creature token, and then you destroy a target permanent. So like it even like kind of break, like makes the card not function the same kind of way. Like it's kind of interesting, right? Like with Blasphemous Act, like for example, it starts with what the card does, a Blasphemous Act that deals 13 damage to each creature, .. sorcery.
Yeah.
And I love that idea of where it's like, okay, it's telling you that the card's a sorcery, but it's also like almost like in quotations, like, oh, it's great.
It's just telling you, it's the narrative for the film. It's like any sort of like Pulp Fiction movie poster. It's essentially a trailer because that's, you know, how they're more accessible than like film trailers, especially like, you know, sort of in early days of sort of like 20th century cinema. And so, yeah, telling you the story of what this is, I think it's a great little touch. And I like all the mana symbols on most of them as well. Like, again, for Beast Within, like it almost looks like the little stamp of the production house, like two green instant. I think they're brilliant. I think as changing up, like, ooh, what does a magic card look like? Well, this is Secret Lair, so fuck you, and we can do what we want. I think this is a great use of that space.
Really cool. I think it's also cool to note that on Dismember it's Yawgmoth and Rebek. Like we get another bit of sexy Yawgmoth, and he's got black nail varnish on. Oh, he's got style. He's got grace.
He's got his eyeliner.
Yeah, and I also like all the things like with Dismember, like target creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn. Like, it's just sick. I mean, this is the one that value wise may be questionable, but the whole point is that this is what I think Secret Lair should be. It's not like getting the chase cards. Like you don't buy the Secret Lair because, oh, I need another copy of this card.
Yeah,
like it's you get the cards because you really enjoy the style and the indulgence of it. And again, you might not be getting your value per money for the cards, but all of them are very playable across different formats. I think the only one I wouldn't have a place for is Grafdigger's Cage, and even then, well, it's modern players and things like that. Like, could swap this off to. But yeah, very cool. It's nice to see that they're willing to just play super hard into these things. Again, we saw kind of like the halfway measure, I think, on certain drops before, and now we're going full balls to the walls. Give a shit, let's go.
Yeah, I think, and also I just think with just a more accessible art style as well. Like, I mean, again, we can't spend too long talking about it, but like when you had like the heavy metal posters, for example, like, I mean, obviously that appeals to the people it appeals to, but it's not quite as broad as say horror movie posters. Like, I think that's just got kind of a broader look to it, and like a more classic, like, grockable look, to use your word.
I think even compared to, like, say, it's a meet you at the party next Friday or whatever, like, that had, again, like, it could be quite perversive to some people or aversive. Whereas this, I think, very accessible. Very good.
Yeah,
good job.
For sure. All right, moving on. Next up. Yeah, good job. Yeah, like it. Good. See, solid. Solid concept. Followed through. Nice. Cool. Moving on. We've got Showcase Midnight Hunt. This is something that they've been doing for the past couple of Secret Lair drops now, where they take the art style of the Showcase or some sort of, I mean, now it's not just the Showcase art style, it's now the Showcase art style, the Land style, the Alternative style, the Borderless style. But they take one of the new styles of artwork for the latest set, and they put a Secret Lair drop in that has other cards from outside of the set that with that art style and feed them in. So they did, like, they got the original Pantheon of Theros gods, they got them to be the constellation artworks that they were using for Theros Beyond Death. They did it with Kaldheim, with they did
the Titans,
the stupidly chopped up Titans and the weirdly picked Titans.
Why not just one drop? This is one drop of 10 cards. Why weren't all the Titans in one drop? Come on, Wizards.
I know, because they're too much money, because they had shit like Uro and Croxo, which is now an incredibly expensive card as well. Anyway, blah blah blah. That was in the Kaldheim showcase, and this is the original 10. From original Innistrad, the 10 colorless lands, but they had the two color activation costs. So you had the cycle of 10. This is those lands from original Innistrad in the black and white art style of, say, the full art lands from Midnight Hunt, what I presume are going to be the full art lands in Crimson Vow, and also the sort of crossover in between set, what I'm calling like the Pokemon Yellow set. Well, they do what, both.
Double feature.
Yeah. That double feature. That's it. Yeah. Where we get like select cards. I hope it's just the best of the select cards in a basically like a crossover black and white set, which I can't wait to have. I'll probably get a box of that. That sounds wicked.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, if you know the cards, you know the cards. You know, it's Vault of the Archangel, Moorland Haunt, Desolate Lighthouse, Stonesia Blood Hall, Grim Backwards, Kessig Wolfrun, Slayer Stronghold, Gavney Township, Nefalia Drownhard, Alchemist's Refuge. All incredibly playable cards, like in various formats, mostly EDH, I guess, nowadays. But, you know, if you've got a two-color deck or a three-color deck, you're going to be running a couple of these, no doubt. I mean, I know I do. I know I recently built my Werewolves deck with Tovalar, and so I am interested in maybe picking up a Kessig Wolf. Does look sick. I mean, what's to say about this? If you like the art style, you like the art style. I think they're all pretty cool. They're all different artists as well, so it's not just the same thing over and over again.
Sure. I know there are some that aren't necessarily as playable as others, but things like, it's like cool to see Elaina Dana do a black and white artwork, considering they're known for having very striking coloured artwork.
Yeah, well, Elaina also got to do one of the full arts as well for the main set, so that's what we get, like double Elaina, which is really, really nice.
So very cool. And obviously, typically, I have Alchemist Refuge in Kasuga, so I guess I'm going to have to buy the single eventually. Oh no, what a tragedy.
nice little flavour touch in Grim Backwards. I've just spotted Ishkana Graf Widow in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a wolf right at the end of the Kasuga Wolf Run. There are like little tidbits in all of them, I think, that are quite nice, quite cute. And also, I think Desert Lighthouse is actually like considering the artist only done Inga Runeis and Cole the Forge Master, the alternate art styles, it's quite cool to see. So as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's new, right? That kind of style. And then checked in recently, only recent. So again, nice to be able to give these artists flex in other products outside of all art treatments.
The Jessica Siemens Vault of the Archangel, now in the original Vault of the Archangel artwork, you kind of saw the shadow. Do you see the shadow of Avacyn like kind of creeping in from the artwork? I can't quite remember. There is like some hint of Avacyn in there. Is the Avacyn shape on the floor, is that indicative of, is that like almost like a scorch mark of where?
I don't think so. I think this is back in time, right? Because I think this is still I think, I don't know, because you've got Sorin creeping in the background there a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is this maybe just after he's vindicated?
I mean, that'd be really tragic. That'd be so tragic. She's scorched into the ground. That makes it way cooler. But I want to say no. I want to say this is back when everything was fine. Everything was happy, Andy. Everything was... I guess, wait, it's Innistrad. Oh, nothing's ever happy. Yeah, fuck
nothing's
it.
Ever
let's
happy
let's lean into it. Lean into it. Yeah, that's dead. That's dead Avacyn. Scorched into the ground there. Fantastic.
Yeah, I was right. The original John Avon... Vault of the Archangel, you have Avacyn's statue in the background, but in the kind of on the floor, you do have the shadow. So I think that's a direct reference, but because you're not seeing, the shadow's not attached to anything in this one. So I think that's the scorch mark.
Now it makes sense.
Grim.
Bleak.
Cool.
Bleak.
Nice. Again, solid concept. I don't mind them doing a secret lair where they have the art style outside things. I know I was a bit down on it during the Titans one especially, but when it makes sense for like a cycle of things that actually relate, like the gods, or like the lands. Like, I think it works. When they try to pull in like, oh yeah, this is like Frost Titan, but if Frost Titan was in Kaldheim, you're like, yeah, but it wasn't. So
yeah, it's exactly. We've seen the Frost Giants. That doesn't work. They're trolls.
Doesn't
stop
work.
It.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop it. Okay, good. Next up we have Read the Fine Print. Now, I'm going to say this is maybe the most boring one of all of them, but it is also simultaneously the one that I like the most.
Strange, right? Because there are two Liliana lairs, and both of them seem to kind of tread the ground a little bit. Like, it feels like, was this necessary kind of thing? Because I think I heard about this one a long, long time ago, this Read the Fine Print. It might have been like leaked or something. And I was like, ah, okay, cool, I guess. I mean, one of the most, the best card out of it. You can't play in the format that I play the most.
Yeah. So what this lair drop is, this is a high concept Magic the Gathering one. So this is full on magic lore. So you get five cards in Read the Fine Print. You get Demon Lord Belzenlok, Grizzlebrand, Kothafed, Soul Hoarder, Liliana's Contract, and Razaketh the Foul-Blooded. So for those who know Liliana's story, Liliana made a pact with the four demon lords, Belzenlok, Grizzlebrand, Kothafed, and Razaketh. And a lot of Liliana's story is her trying to circumnavigate that contract by killing all the demons before she has to fulfill any kind of like jobs for them, or at least any more jobs for them. And much of Liliana's like artwork and sort of card history shows her interacting with these demons, and indeed obviously like the online stories. And then you have literally the card Liliana's contract. You have artwork by, oh my gosh, do you say Z-I-U-K? Is it Ziuk? Do you say it as a word, or is it, what's going on?
Verdict's out. We'll have to look in the FAQs or reach out to them and be like, wait, how do we say your name?
This is where maybe our ignorance shows of us kind of going, oh, I didn't realize I had to slightly research that. However, very cool illustrator. Renowned, a lot of their artwork revolves around this kind of, very much like Wiley Becker, I think, whereas there's lots of like two-tone, but not just black and white. Like there's black, white, and gold seems to be like the motif in a lot of their work. Or like there's a lot of inks going on, and like there's a lot of like kind of cool contrasts. So the color saturation in this, it's basically monochrome, but there's gold and purple highlighting on each of the details.
Gilded, isn't it? Yeah. Almost. Yeah. It's lovely.
It's incredibly good. I mean, and as you say, like all the cards are incredibly like, I think, playable. The most playable one being Grizzlebrand, which is banned in almost every format it's ever been like played in, including EDH. And I mean, is it banned in Modern? I can't remember.
It's legal in Modern, Legacy, and Vintage.
Oh, okay, so it's just EDH that's banned in.
Yeah,
yeah. So just pick this, I guess, up while well, Asmodeus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. They've given you another option.
They've given you another option. But yeah, I play Razaketh the Foul-Blooded in my Queen Marchesa Aristocrats deck, and I can't tell you the number of games I've won just of that one card.
God, he's such a bonkers.
It was when Arrow of Devastation came out, and they had Razaketh as like one of their big mythics. People were like, "Oh yeah, that's a pretty powerful card." And then I just don't think it just gets slept on so much just as a mechanical piece. It's insane. Mm. Powerful. If you have a copy of Razaketh the Foul-Blooded and you're not playing it in a deck, you just reassess, because it's amazing. Godfed, Bells and Lock, and Liliana's Contract.
Bells and Lock, so wordy that you couldn't fit flavor text in, which kind of gives all of these a little extra bit of hint, because each one kind of says what they gave Liliana. So Gristlebrand's Gift was power over death. Liliana's Formidable Necromancy was now unparalleled. Kothafed bestowed upon Liliana Eternal Youth, carved into her skin as intricate tattoos. Razaketh, this is one I was like, oh, I didn't realize. Liliana gained sway over the living. Weak mortal souls became her playthings. Bells and Lock, no idea. His card's too wordy. He monologued so hard that we don't even get any backstory from him. It's so flavorful.
I doubt he gave her anything. I think he just told her he did.
Creator of Liliana's Contract, listed in all of his fucking, like, he's just the guy who signed it, right? He's just the guy who wrote it up.
He's the guy that went, oh yeah, I've absolutely given you the power of like flight. And she's like, awesome, when will that kick in? He's like, my might will know no bounds, like it will kick in when amazing. I say it will. That's his whole deal, isn't it? He just takes credit for shit he hasn't done. Or he said he gave her something one of the other ones did. Oh yeah, I did that. Co-signed.
No, I did all of them. No, none of them actually gave you anything. Okay, right. It's on flavor. That's on point. Yep. Okay, take it back.
Home run. I like Liliana's Contract as well. The artwork is pretty on point as well, showing Liliana and like kind of the visages of the other four demons. Solid. The reason I like this one the most is because it's just a really solid like collection of cards. It's why I quite like the spell books, the like J spellbook and the Commander collections, where they have like sort of a narrative almost
combined collective.
I always like that kind of thing. I'm not necessarily even into doing, I mean, this is probably bad for me to say as of all those, I'm not even that into doing heavily themed decks in terms of like I literally have to put all the cards in, like, but if I want the option of doing a Liliana deck, I want these versions of those cards, right?
You didn't just get this collection either. You got a radically different looking collection as well to go alongside it. Liliana got a lot of love this drop, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm kind of going to stop myself from keep going on about how much I get annoyed by the fact they keep still using the Gatewatch characters as like their main thing. Because actually, every time we do, we realize that the like march of time is never ending. And actually, they haven't been featured in the story for like 2 years or whatever. Like whenever they come back, I think when we went to Zendikar, and I was like, oh god, Jason Nyssa again. It's like, yeah, they've actually not been in the story for like a year and a half. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Fatigue's real though. Fatigue's real.
I mean, the fatigue is real, but. You know, Liliana, out of all of the Gatewatch characters, Liliana is the one that I think I have the most time for. And I think most people do as well, so that's fine.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's why we've also segueing nicely into Thrilling Tales of the Undead.
Yes.
Got yet another Liliana-based lair drop, which I think is interesting considering, obviously, we're in Midnight Hunt. They did a zombie-based deck, which also had... because there's only three cards, Gravecrawler, Liliana, Death's Majesty, and Rise of the Dark Realms. Two of these cards are not like the other. I guess you choose the way around, right? Because of all of the planeswalkers to choose for three card drop, of all of the iterations of Liliana, you chose arguably the most reprinted one. And yes, the one that's like least needed. And don't get me wrong, it's a really cool, strong, powerful card.
Well, which one's which? But, why are you being coy?
No, it's in Liliana's Death Majesty. Like, is the problem card in this set? Because I feel like you could have gone for Last Hope. You could have gone for even of the Dark Realms. Like, you could have gone for any of the ones that were less populist, right? I know this is the one that's most based around zombies. It's not even the most based around zombies. Touched by Death, I believe, is the one that's most based around zombies. It's just a really strange choice.
But Touched by Death is really narrow. And Death's Majesty, I have a lot of time for. What's your problem with Liliana Death's Majesty? That's a great
It's the most reprinted one. It's like, hey, look, isn't just me. Okay, I'm lording the comments that I've read on the back of it.
I'm scryfalling right now because of all of the Amon Care. I pulled that one from Amon Care.
It's also in the on the list. It's the most printed.
I'm literally looking up.
Amon Care came in the commander. It literally just got printed in the commander set.
Oh, came in the mystery booster. It really has. Mystery booster, San Diego Comic Con. Oh my gosh, it really has been.
Compared to a lot of the other ones. Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
You see what I mean? Right. And also, so I love how we're just bitching. This is great. This is prime magic flavoring. out of all three of them, the other two, Gravecrawler and Rise of the Dark Realms, have black base, like semi-transparent with white color, white lettering on top. The Planeswalker, the card again that would have the most amount of artwork, right? Again, has an opaque fucking rules text box with black. Yeah. Why did you get so close? And then, like, don't get wrong. So, Gravecrawler, really, really good card. Still expensive. Yes, okay, it was printed in the latest Commander deck. If you missed that, it's good to be able to get hold of another copy. Also, it looks like Marilyn Monroe, like, has risen back from the grave, and she'll get her revenge or die trying. Their flavor text is, like, listed under their... Because this is kind of half and half, right, between the movie poster and a normal Magic card, where it still has the text style and the font style being slightly different, with a little bit more of a play on how, like, it's formatted. But then you get the normal Magic, like, text box at the bottom. All of these, by the way, the artworks are done by Faye Dalton. And I think, again, Rise of the Dark Realms and Gravecrawler, both very good, strong cards. It's also nice with Liliana's Death Majesty that you get a little flavor text at the top. Death is no excuse for disobedience, where normally planeswalkers don't get flavor text. So that's quite cool. I just think it's the only thing that kind of, one, we've already got this other Liliana product literally sat above it as I'm looking on Scryfall. And you go down, you go, but you gave us one of the more underwhelming. And also, in terms of artwork, Liliana Death Majesty's got one of the best, I think, out of Liliana's, one of the best artworks on her standard printing. I know you kind of got to choose between the alternate artwork or the standard
Chris
printing.
Yeah, Chris Rallis on that really original printing is amazing.
You see what I mean? Like, it's one of the ones I'm like, just choose one of the other ones.
Oh,
maybe.
No, I like it. I like this. I think it's fine. I didn't realise Death Majesty was reprinted quite as much as it was, but it's a solid planeswalker. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's just one of the most Liliana-y ones as well. Like, if that's a word. The Faye Dalton artwork, by the way, you mentioned the Faye Dalton artwork. The concept for this one, we haven't actually mentioned it, is that they are like book covers, like pulp book covers. So, yes. So Faye Dalton is renowned for doing like lots of different, like sort of, it even says on their website, reminiscent of 1950s Mills and Boone novels. Working with a lot of different companies to do this kind of art style, this kind of, sort of 1950s romance novel look, right? But kind of pulpy and a bit trashy, which is exactly what they're going for here. And exactly the kind of novels that I think Liliana would scoff at reading, but actually have a huge stack of. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, she's got a lot of guilty fiction, I'm sure.
Yeah, just a bit like cackly, but like kind of reads them and kind of really sides with all like the villains in them, being like, this like this femme fatale is exactly like right up my street kind of thing, you know? So yeah. I like it. I don't have half the animosity towards this one that you do.
Hey, it's just one. It's a little nitpick. Like, if I don't nitpick, I'm not me, right? That's just how it goes.
Now for something completely different. We're going to be moving on to Monster Anatomy 101. Monster Anatomy 101 is a collection of five cards. You have a Flute Swallower, Goblin Trashmaster, Ilharg the Razebore, Protean Hulk, and Gishath, Sun's Avatar, all in borderless art styles. And this collection of cards, again, is by one artist. They're really giving individual artists like a lot of room to move. This is Timber Smits, who is known as a graphic artist and has worked with a lot of commercial companies to do like really bold pop arty graphic art. And the concept for this one is that it's the idea that you're seeing these creatures as if they're in like a school anatomy book, like a science book. So you have like hand-drawn black and white illustration, but then sections of them cut out so you can see inside their body with little speech bubbles that kind of, you know, expand on like interesting things about them. So for example, in Goblin Trash Master, it kind of highlights the scrap metal shoulder and the, is it garbage gut that they're using?
Yeah, garbage gut, yeah.
Garbage gut. Yeah,
so apparently really eats cool. All the garbage. Yeah, wait. I guess I didn't realize when he's destroying the artifacts, he's just eating them. Apparently,
yeah. In Protein Hulk, it's described as having an egg pump.
Yum. And then there's mysterious merfolk in one of the egg sacs in the back. Of like, of all the things, because I guess I'm just trying to think of the Protein Hulk combo. Are any of the cards a Merfolk? I don't.
It's got to be.
So.
There's got to be something.
I have to look into it. Yeah, Merfolk. I don't do Protein Hulk. I don't do Flash Hulk combos in EDH. I'm not an absolute abhorrent monster. But yeah.
Sorry, CEDH players.
Hey, look, no, I play those my CGHX anyway. Chilean, okay? So I allure in nonsense out. So don't get me wrong. I'm just as degenerate.
Poor Protein Hulk. Protein Hulk is one of those cards where I would really love just to play a copy, just in a normal EDH deck, and in terms of one that's not going to like break it in half. But you just can't play it without people just going, "Well, what's going to happen now?"
Yeah, fuck you, I guess. It's like, fine. Even if you slip in something like, I don't want to say the word Merrin, but if you slip in like an animated deck or whatever, you're just going to go and get like a Spore Frog plus a bunch of other stuff. I mean, it's a Protein. It's very, very strong. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, come on. I just like how it's pointed out in Ilhug with Raze Boy inside. There's his divine power. No other explanation. Just divine power. Like, fantastic. Yeah, like, really flaming cool. Snout, apparently, as well. I didn't realize he had a flaming snout. Again, tidbits. Little bits of flavor tidbits you don't normally get. Like, it's like flavor text, but you get three different bits of flavor text. Do you know Fleet Swallower? Do you know its tail is a Maelstrom Maker? I didn't. Do now. Amazing.
Yeah, really, canon. Really good. Easily.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I'd love to see more of these in the future, if possible.
And again, to go back to your point about the text boxes, a lot of this information is behind the text box, but we can see it really clearly without like taking away from the actual text in the card, because they've made the text box transparent.
I felt like they deliberately did that, obviously, to make like almost even the text on the card, like the rules text, deliberately doesn't go over the top of any of the other bits. Like, it feels like this was deliberately one of the times when they go, okay, let's actually fully appreciate how much of the art we're going to see behind, whereas with other things it seems like it's a second step to the, well, we've got to put the rules on there, I guess screw it, whatever, we'll just cover up the other half of the artwork. So yeah, good, glad that they
left. Pretty cool. All right, next we're going to move on to Holy Calamity, Mirrored Insanity. All You Ever's Gonna Be Is Another Great Fan of Me Break. Do you like that?
Damn,
I was practicing
great.
That all morning.
I love it. That was fantastic.
Mirrored Insanity is a collection.
Got 10 bars.
No reaction. Was I too dry? Should I have done a more rappy like kind of bop?
I don't feel
it?
Like you understand how much I grinned. Also, we might have a slight little delay, right? Okay, so you might not have just appreciated how again, I'm smiling, I'm grinning. Okay, I'm glad that you put the effort in. I love you, Andy, man. Don't do this. Let's not argue on air.
Mirrored Insanity is a collection of... is a disappointing, crushing collection of... No, it's not. It's very good. Of five cards, Ancient Den, Seat of the Synod, Vault of Whispers, Great Furnace, Tree of Tales, which are five of the artifact lands from Mirrodin. And they're with artwork from DXTR. DXTR recently, or like he's known for, I suppose, doing one of the Serum Visions cards in one of the original Secret Lair drops. They did, yeah, Serum Visions. I was about to say, oh, they did one of the Serum Vision cards. Serum Visions. So yeah, they wanted to, Magic wanted to get DXTR back and do more awesome pixel art. Very reminiscent of like, I guess it's not quite Super Nintendo era. It's like 16-bit.
It's almost like retro. It's like a...
it's not completely pixelated, is it?
It's like Cross Code, for example, which is like a game that's like trying to like take the style of the old school games, but obviously we have way better graphic quality now. Sure. So it's actually like
Each of these cards has a specific reference to different characters in Mirrodin's history. For example, Vault of Whispers has a Geth, Lord of the Vault, which makes sense. The Great Furnace is Krark, and Tree of Tales, I'm guessing that's Azuri, Claw of Progress, right?
Yes. Yes, it should be, yes. And then you've got Raksha for the Ancient Den.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets nicer, the fact that they actually seem to do their research, or unless they got insisted to do their research. But put these people in. It doesn't matter who they are. You won't know. But put them in, please. Like, the players will understand.
Well, I'm always fascinated by whether artists know about, like, magic lore or play Magic the Gathering, because of course many of them do. Like, I would say, like, actually probably, like, it would probably be 50-50 if I have to guess. I think it'd be a lot closer to that than we'd think. And obviously artists do probably a lot of research, so if they get told, oh yeah, put Geth Lord of the Vault in, they probably do get given a lot of resources, and obviously some of those resources are like the cards that they've appeared on. So I'm guessing they probably do have a good idea of who these people are and what they're all about. Yeah, if you want some funky ancient dens by DXTR, or sorry, some funky like artifact lands, then these are your jam. I think they're cool.
Yeah. Do you have a Brea deck? Buy this.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably going to get a Darksteel Forge or something in there as the secret card, you know? Not Darksteel Forge, Darksteel Citadel. God, if they put a Darksteel Forge in as the secret card, people would lose their absolute minds.
Again, yeah, like in my Brudaclad deck that I took apart last year, just getting out a Darksteel Forge and a Navinerals disc and just being like, cool, who wants to play this game?
You know how you make out like I'm the monster and then you just keep listing all these things that you do? Like, I think secretly you're just as abusive of this game as I am. I'm just way more overt about it.
I don't look, my attitude, this is my attitude towards like things like, you know, like land destruction or two card combos or lock pieces, whatever else, blah, blah, blah. I will avoid as hard as I can putting combos or collections of cards in that stop other people from being able to play the game. You can play out as much as you like in your tokens deck. All I'm saying is that I have a disc and a forge and that none of my stuff is going to die. You can do what you want. I'm not stopping you from playing the game. I'm not tapping down your mana. I'm not locking you out of doing certain things. I'm not taking your turns. I'm not taking extra turns, which, by the way, is the same thing as taking your turns. I've heard other theories on that recently, and I disagree. If I'm taking 15 turns, other people are losing turns. I'm just putting cards out there that mean that I get to do a thing. You also get to do a thing. I just might destroy it all on the next turn. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. Okay?
Yeah, cool. Have you finished defending yourself?
Good, look, yeah, I might put Aura of Silence in the deck. Right. You can still play your artifacts, okay? I'm just saying they're going to cost two more. I'm not stopping you from playing artifacts. Stop having a go at me for putting Aura of Silence in a fucking deck.
Okay. Yeah, right, I understand.
Cool. I just want to play my werewolves now, like, man. That's what I want to do. It's not my fault there's a great henge in there, okay? All right, chill out. Fine. Okay, cool. I took apart that Brudaclad deck. What do you want? What more do you want? Yes, I won with you turn need to,
okay,
two
right, Andy, once. Andy, you need to move on from this, okay? I haven't said anything in like 2 minutes, all right? It's fine. It's okay. Right. Everyone loves you.
I just, every time I play Sithis now, it's like, oh, here comes the stacks player. And I'm like, it's not even stacks. It's just value with a little light taxing, all right? Karmic Justice is not that bad of a card. You need to calm down.
Okay. Andy, can we talk about Stranger Things now, please?
Yeah, we can talk about Stranger Things. Let's talk about Stranger Things.
Great. Fantastic. Right. Lovely. The biggest, most impressive, most... I'm not going to say the word controversial, because I don't think this is actually as controversial as the Walking Dead. But Universes Beyond strikes again.
Yes.
We have a collection of 10 cards, I guess, now that we've had the secret card revealed. We've got all six of the party, as it were, the adventuring party of Dustin, 11, Lucas, Max, Mike, Will, and then you've got Chief Jim Hopper, and then the mythic of the set is Mind Flayer, the Shadow. There's also the clue token that's been repurposed to the lighting. I mean, if you've watched Stranger Things, then all of these cards are kind of a home run for you flavor wise, if you're okay with, you know, crossing IPs. And then the secret card is the Hawkins National Laboratory, which is a flip land, which flips into the Upside Down. All of the six, like original party, as including then Chief Hopper as the seventh, all have the very interesting, because we can talk about each individual card's like flavor and abilities, which they all do have very kind of almost like minor abilities, but they all kind of work very closely with their character and the role they play within the series. But they also have Friends Forever. You can have two commanders if both have Friends Forever. So it's almost like partner with, but partner with in a very small group. It's kind of halfway between partner and partner with, right? It's that middle ground of where they keep trying to flex where this broken mechanic can get, how much can they push it before it's too broken, but also give you some flexibility and give you some kind of like play around ability, because I know there's a load of people that probably wanted to put Peer with some other random partner with Commander but can't, or maybe they wanted to put Toothy with another, you know, like that kind of idea of where it breaks open a little bit more and it allows you to play kind of all of these cards within each other. Obviously the Mind Flayer doesn't have friends forever because the Mind Flayer doesn't have no friends, but is also a very flavorful card. I'm weirdly okay with this in almost every aspect, which is kind of strange. I thought I'd find it really, really annoying and horrible. And you know what? I look at it now, I'm like, man, I miss this series. I really love this series. I really like Magic. And this just kind of ticks both boxes.
Do you know why I think the difference is? Do you know what I think the difference in attitude? Because universally, you're right. These have not been as hated as the Walking Dead ones. I think it's two things. Do you want to know what I think it is? So firstly, I think it's A, I just think it's plain getting used to the idea. So I think just out of the bat, I just think people were already against Universes Beyond. They already didn't want to know about it. And they were like, no, don't want to see that triangle hologram. And I was one of them. I've completely flipped around on my idea of this whole thing. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, this is going to suck, I think, honestly. Now I think people have gotten used to it. I think that the initial backlash is obviously just less because of that. Secondly, I think that the choice of IP is everything. And I honestly think that The Walking Dead, still, I will back the idea that it was a terrible choice for an IP, especially the first IP that they tried it with, because the attitude of the show, it's a nasty show. I'm not saying that to deride it and be like, oh, it's a horrible little show. It's a grim, grueling, beaten show about people going through incredible trauma. And to see that on, like, cards, even with those themes within the world of Magic the Gathering, which I know is something that people cry about, like, oh, well, they're doing Warhammer, and Warhammer's grimdark. It's like, yeah, but it's still fantasy. The Walking Dead tries everything it possibly can to not have a zombie be on the fucking screen at any given time. Like, it's the most zombie-less zombie show out there, because it's not about that. Whereas with Stranger Things, I'm going to say now, I've kept very quiet, I'm not a big fan of Stranger Things. Like, not a huge fan of the show. I don't dislike it, but it's just not for me. I went to the Stranger Things Secret Cinema, which, if you don't know what Secret Cinema is, it's an immersive theatre company that do, like, big commercial products. I went to the Secret Cinema event, I enjoyed it in the UK, but it's not for me. But even I understand that the love this show has for Dungeons & Dragons specifically, because obviously there's a lot of heavy themes of D&D in the show, and indeed they're played up with in these cards here. But just the whole, like, fantasy role-playing hero's journey aspects of the show, like, they're played up so much that I just think the choice of IP, whether it's subtle or overt, is incredibly important. And I think Stranger Things, if they're going to pick a TV show with, like, live action characters that they're going to render photorealistically onto magic cards, I think of course this works. When would it not? Also, my wife fancies David Harper, so like, I might just get this just to give her that card. Harper. I think it's all good.
Yeah, noticeably as well, these cards will be available in Magic, like, reskins within the list, right? They'll be available as, like, the list card. So it's not just, these are mechanically unique cards that you have to buy the drop to get hold of. Like, they will have natural circulation as well, which again undercuts that annoyance that people have with The Walking Dead. Also, flavorfully, I think some of these cards are an absolute home run. There's questions about whether or not, because Eleven's three colors, she's like Grixis colors, and because Mike's Selesnya colors, the two of them, when you mix them together, does that just make another good stuff five color deck? I don't know. One's leaning into casting instant sorceries for free, one's recurring creatures from your graveyard. If you can make those two things work in a good stuff deck, why aren't you playing Kenrith? Like, you know, like, I don't see any.
Yeah, there's no big strikes
against it. Yeah, I feel that's the biggest one, right? And I feel like it's the one that falls flat quickest. Because I mean, with all your other five kind of good stuff commanders that are out there that you're now clamoring for because Golos got banned, is this really the thing you're going like, yeah, oh no, they've done it again? No, not really.
Not really. And like, also, like, you can make anything work in EDH if you try hard enough. There's been this rule, like, the five color thing's been a real, like, sticking point in the EDH community recently. And, like, I sort of get it. I mean, I play Kenrith. I play five color plus one counters. And Kenrith is commander, and he's actually actively good at it as well. Like, not only is he just good because he's a solid card and he's got five colors, the fact that his first two abilities give all my creatures haste, trample, and plus +1/+1 counters is like, okay, all right then, like, that's just kind of a home run. but there's been a real backlash recently against five color, and I'm like, if you have to have two commanders to make a five color commander, like, what are you complaining about?
Chill again out. And they do completely different things. Yeah. Like, yeah, I just don't understand it. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think none of, and the thing they've done well, that none of the cards particularly are super, super powerful to the point of where they're so pushed that, again, if it was for like, oh, okay, just because they're coming in the list still doesn't increase their availability that much. Like, none of these are like, oh my God, you have to be playing this card if you're playing these colors. Like, even Chieftain Hopper, like, it's giving Boris another option for card draw, but it's not that different outside, like, compared to, like, say, Akiri or Wyleth, for example, apart from that, you don't have to go equipment. Okay, fair enough. You still have to attack, right? It still says the word attacks to be able to get the extra card draw out of it. It's not really kind of re-breaking what Boris can and can't do. The Mind Flayer might give some feel bads because it's stealing shit from people, but you know how I feel about that. I don't really care. Plus, the artwork's really cool. So, I mean look, again, I don't
if
think
you have to spend seven mana to steal some shit with a 9/9.
Yeah,
fine.
Yep.
Just stop coming at me with like your 3 or 4 mana blue spells that just apparently take all my shit.
Yes,
I'm not getting into it. Sorry, you keep bringing this up. I'm not getting into
sorry.
It.
Sorry. I also like the fact that the Mind Flayer, legendary enchantment creature, it's almost like a devotion to your opponent's spell and your opponent's permanence, which is really, really cool. Again, like, I don't have too much of an issue with this. The only thing I think is strange is that, again, they've chosen like characters from different series as well. So some things from series one, some from season two. I feel like the photorealism sometimes strays into Uncanny Valley a bit too much. Like, I don't particularly like the look of the Mike card. And then there was also that big controversy with the Will the Wise artwork, right? That now has been absolutely completely changed, which I don't understand how oversight. Yeah. I don't understand how oversights like that happen, but you know, that's again a horse that's been beaten to death, and they did, thankfully, because it's not been released yet and they can change the artworks, has been rectified. So that's good to see. It's like the whole was it Godzilla Death Corona kind of thing of like, but this feels like something that they could have definitely seen coming a long way away from. I don't know. Maybe it was a cropping issue. I'm not sure. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
They fixed it. Yeah. There's a lot of this product seems to be fixing. It seems to be fixing Universes Beyond Crossing IPs. It seems to be fixing Partner, and it seems to be fixing when Wizards doesn't have any tact. so again, I don't have any issue with it. I understand why there's a lot of discourse about it, but I don't think it's as adverse as the Walking Dead one. And there are some really cool little abilities that you can do. And you can make some really fun decks with this. And again, things that aren't super, super broken, they all investigate. They all have like different clue related stuff, which I think is really cool as well. I think it all works quite nicely as a flavor crossover IP thing. So yeah, again, it gives me a bit more faith for the future versions. I feel like The Walking Dead, they understood the backlash. They already had these other products kind of ready to go in the backlog, because obviously everything's made years and years in advance. And they went, oh, okay, we didn't expect the pushback. How can we mitigate a lot of the issues that people had with this? So
by making it fun. Happy. And not about people exactly being literally obliterated,
beaten, bludgeoned to death. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's give you the worst character that's been seen on screen, like in terms of ethics, for a long, long time. And then why not secret card? Given the weapon that he bludgeoned one of the main characters to death with. Oh, spoilers, by the way, for The Walking Dead. If you weren't already on that bandwagon, but yeah, good God. Whereas this is like, oh no, the secret card's a flip land that does something cool. Like, good, fantastic, lovely. Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, sure, cool. All right.
Good. Right. Well, that was 8 lair drops. We did it. Did it in under an hour. I'm proud of us, Andy, man. We're getting way more efficient at this shit.
I think it's because we've stopped caring about...
You just stopped caring for stuff.
Well, like...
just don't give a shit anymore. We don't have to go...
Sometimes you do just need to go, if you like it, it's there.
It's true. Don't have to have a comment on absolutely everything. Yeah.
Oh,
good.
I like it. I think, as I said with kind of the read the fine print, it's potentially the most boring in terms of like, well, it's some demons. Or like even the Showcase Midnight Hunt. They're not, you're right, they're not all majorly played all the time. Like they all have a home somewhere, but there's only a couple of them that you'd say are ubiquitous in the colors that you can play them in EDH, for example. But I just think drop for drop, the concepts are solid. The artists are great. The follow through with what they're doing. There was no, like, you know, when they did like the Signets one, and there's all the different, not the Dan Fraser one. Sorry, not the Signets, the Mana Rocks.
Oh, right. A bunch of rocks. Literally a bunch of rocks.
Yeah. And, you know, there were artworks in there, which, you know, we were happy that they were there because they're trying experimenting and they're bringing new artists in, and they're not just like, they don't just look like regular magic art. But there just didn't seem to be this kind of unifying, like, theme or direction with that particular drop. And each card seemed like it could have just had a home literally anywhere else. And there's been a few drops like that. And then they've also done ones, and they started very strong, for example, with the Year of the Rat Secret Lair. I think that was one of the first ones, where obviously that concept is incredibly well thought out, and they've really put a lot of thought into it. And that was a really strong first outing for Secret Lairs. And I just think as a collection, as a whole super drop, if that's how you want to view this product, I just think, yeah, for £449.99, fucking hell, for the Bootacular bundle, I just think you're not going to get a stronger bundle at the moment. And this isn't like a product review. This is me being like, oh, you should definitely buy the Secret Lair. I just think they're getting better at it, and I hope they keep on. If they're going to keep making Secret Lairs, and this is how they're going to make their money selling singles as a company, because that's what they're doing, then, yeah, I think this is probably the strongest outing for it.
Exactly. Well, let's wait until we get all the controversy again in the spring super drop.
Yeah.
I guess inundation's good when you give enough diversity that you only have to pick up one or two and not all of them feels like it's necessary, right? A little bit of something for everyone. That's how it should feel like, and a little bit of support for everyone. And I think that's exactly, as you say, exactly what they've done here.
So yeah. Good job. Yeah. Cool. I haven't played Magic in 3 weeks.
Oh, man, I played my first two games yesterday and it felt weird. I forgot how much slapping someone for like 10 damage on like turn 3 or 4 feels really bad when you haven't been around for a while and you're like, I don't have politics here. I'm just going to slap the person who's done the least because why not rub it in?
I just want to play the mechanics of the game. This involves me attacking you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brina's surprisingly aggressive. I'm like, oh, it's just a sit around kind of do nothing deck. And then there isn't a 4-player game that she just gets like 8 counters per round. And you're like, well, everyone's 2-shot range.
Orzhov as a color pairing is surprisingly aggressive. I don't know a single Orzhov deck out there which it can't turn sideways and suddenly be like, oh, I've suddenly got all these tokens, or just the confidence of having 70 mm-hmm. life. Do you know what I mean? I've got 70 life. I'm going to swing out at you. I don't care. None of you can do anything to me.
Oops, ink shield. Oops, oh, blot man. Out the
I
sky.
I need to pick up an ink shield. I keep losing to it when I do play
it's so
Magic.
Good. It's such a game. It's such a good card. But yeah, we'll have to make sure this happens next week.
Well, I've got my werewolves list, and it's relatively casual, but it does have some like it's. Well, so this is what, so I remember a few weeks ago I was kind of maybe bemoaning the offering from Midnight Hunt about werewolves, and I was like, the two mechanics don't work together from old and new werewolves, like there's not enough support, like kind of crosses over boundaries, la la la. We didn't get a commander deck, still fucking wild we didn't get a commander deck for the werewolves.
But they got a vampire one for Crimson Vow. Andy man.
Having built the Tovalar deck and having built it like with the mindset of going, I can't literally throw all the werewolves in because there are actually like 50 werewolves now, like there and thereabouts, and that's just bad deck building. So I did have to make certain cuts, and I did sort of realize like, oh, some of these, even though they're like cool, are literally just beefy, whereas other ones are beefy but they have trample, or they're beefy and they have an activated ability. And you start actually seeing that actually the tribe is quite good for like a casual, more casual ended EDH deck. But then you put in, for example, an Urza's Incubator and a Herald's Horn and a Great Henge, and then suddenly you're dropping 3 or 4 werewolves on a turn when I've been goldfishing, because I've not actually got to play with this thing yet. But I kind of feel like as a tribe, I don't know, building it, I realized actually I thought it was going to be a slog. I thought I wasn't actually going to enjoy it and I was going to have to build it just because I said I would. But then I built it and I was like, oh, this is actually quite fun to play because you get to do the werewolfy things with all the support and like quote unquote power crept cards of recent years that actually just smooth out more casual decks. And I kind of wonder, big EDH philosophy time, I kind of wonder whether that's the way we deal with power creep in general, is that we do still build our janky Kithkin deck, but you know, fucking go on, put like an Arcane Signet in there, like who cares, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like all these power crept cards, if you use them as support to support strategies that otherwise just wouldn't work, actually, is that the way to go about it? I don't know, but werewolves is a fun time. I can't wait to actually get to play it. Goldfishing, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, good. I look forward to getting slapped about by it next week.
Maybe if cool. I have time. Yes. I will do. I'll make time. Yes.
Fantastic. Well guys, I guess, oh no, I saw your wrap up. Go on. Sorry,
I was wondering if you were just gonna go for it. Go for it.
I realized. Oh God, guys. No, I don't know. I don't know your script. You've got. You know when you're like. You
all
know,
right,
the
guys.
Script.
Tell us how you feel about the October Super Drop. Tell us what you like and don't like. If there's any flavor bits that we missed or didn't miss, or well, if we didn't miss, don't tell us we didn't miss it because we did. But if we missed it, then let us know. Also, if there's anything that you'd like to see in future drops, obviously, if we have like the Liliana's contract set and then other Liliana stuff going on. When would you like Chandra to get their own super drop?
No,
that's the one that everyone wants. No. They've had too many cards. Yeah, let us know what you'd like to see in future Secret Lairs, because if now we're going more high concept, what kind of illustration styles that you would like to see? Or what just kind of like, sort of, what's the word? Cycles of cards that haven't yet been in a super drop with a special treatment you would like to get to see. Let us know via our Twitter at mtflavoring. Emails go to mtflavoring@gmail.com. My personal Twitter is at Andy Manface. Nathan's, yours is?
At the Fox in the Moon.
We already did kind of wrap up just then, just talking about the fact that I never get to play Magic, and that you did play Magic, and you became the villain of the table very, very quickly, it seems.
Well, you know me. I got sacked about second game, it was fine. I got hit by a 4-4 double strike. So basically, it doesn't matter. It's Atraxa. Atraxa sucks. Who knew?
All right, guys. All that remains for me to say is thank you so much for listening. This has been Magic Flavoring.
We'll see you soon.